Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Last month, my laptop fell off my desk and broke. It was a couple years old, so I figured that I should just buy a new one. Unfortunately, I didn't have much money in my bank account, so I couldn't afford anything new. I went on Amazon, but everything was out of my price range. Eventually, I just went on Craigslist to see if there were any used laptops that were within my budget. Didn't take me long to find the perfect computer. It was only a year old and had barely been used. I called up the seller, a woman named Martina, and she gave me her address. I drove straight to her apartment to look at the computer. She was extremely friendly. She told me that she was going through a divorce, which meant that she was selling off all her ex-husband's things, including the computer. I got a little skeptical at first because the computer wasn't really hers to begin with, but she assured me that everything was fine and the sale would be final. She showed me the laptop, and everything worked perfectly. It already had all the important apps downloaded. I spent a couple of minutes noodling around the computer, and once I was happy with everything, I paid her the money and left. Back home, I uploaded all my important docs onto my new computer.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I spent a couple of hours catching up on my work and then closed the laptop and went to bed. Hours later, I woke up to the sound of footsteps outside my bedroom door. Someone was walking inside my house. Slowly, I pushed myself out of my bed and walked toward my door. I took a deep breath and pushed it open. A man dressed all in black stood in the dark living room. He was rifling through my stuff, as if he was looking for something in particular. He looked up at me with a completely blank expression. Then, he looked past me, through the open door of my bedroom. His eyes widened. Whatever he was searching for, he must have seen it in my room. Without saying anything, he raced toward me. Before I could react, he pushed me hard against the doorframe and dove into my room. I was terrified, of course, but everything was happening so fast, I didn't have time to think. I spun around and grabbed him from behind. Then I wrestled him to the ground. In the process, his head struck the side of my bed frame. He instantly collapsed onto the ground. He didn't lose consciousness, but he was woozy, and a trickle of blood oozed down the side of his head. He stumbled back to his feet, glared at me one more time, and then stumbled out of the room. I watched as he reached the front door and ran out of the house. I took a second to catch my breath, and then called 911. The officer on the phone asked me if I had any enemies, but I couldn't think of anyone. Then, he asked if there was anything of value in my house. That's when I thought about the laptop sitting on the table next to my bed. That must have been what he was after. It wasn't all that valuable, but maybe it had something important saved in one of its folders. Maybe Martina's husband was the intruder, trying to steal it back so he could cover up something. It seemed like a far-fetched idea, but it was the only explanation that made sense. If you ever saw my house, you'd know that there was literally nothing of value for robbers to take. I knew I should have told that to the police dispatch, but I didn't. I figured it would be better if I did the detective work myself. So I ended the call. That was the biggest mistake of my life. I pulled out the laptop and started looking for anything suspicious on its drive. It didn't take me long to find a single folder saved in the Downloads tab. It was labeled Camera. I opened the folder and found a series of videos taken from security camera footage outside Martina's house. The footage was black and white and grainy, but it clearly showed Martina by herself. She looked around nervously, as if she was up to something. And then a man appeared in the footage. He approached her, they talked for a second, and then he grabbed her. They started making out sloppily, and then Martina took his hand and guided him back inside the building. Clearly, they were going to hook up. If the man who snuck into my house was her real husband, well, then this was proof that Martina was cheating on him. I had all the answers I needed to show the police. But for some reason, I decided to keep watching the footage. The saved file was hours long, so I started fast-forwarding through the footage. Based on the timestamp, it looked like Martina's lover snuck out 2 hours after he arrived. Then Martina left right after. The footage did not look good for Martina. But then something else happened. About 3 hours later, according to the timestamp, another figure appeared on camera. This was Martina's husband, the man who was just in my house. And he wasn't alone. He had another woman with him. They held hands and giggled together as they walked into the house. I couldn't believe it. I just found evidence that they were both cheating on each other. No wonder the husband was desperate enough to steal my computer. Martina had told me how messy their divorce had gotten, so this footage must have been extremely valuable to both of them. Now, in a situation like this, the wise thing to do would be to hand off the footage and stay out of it. But I had a better idea. I decided to blackmail them both. I waited until the morning and called Martina, telling her that I had evidence of her husband's affair that I could give to her for $5,000. She was furious, but she agreed to wire me the money. I sent her a shortened chunk of the footage, and she sent me the money. Then I spent the next few hours tracking down information on her husband. I found out his name, Thomas, and his phone number. I called him and offered him the same deal, $5,000 for proof of Martina's affair. He resisted at first, but I told him that if he didn't pay me, I'd tell the police about how he'd broken into my house. He grumbled for a bit and then gave in. And just like that, I'd gotten $10,000. I felt very proud of myself. Unfortunately, this wasn't the end of the story, because 2 weeks later, after I'd spent all the money, both Martina and Thomas appeared at my doorstep. I was shocked to see them together. I asked them what they wanted, and they pushed their way inside my house. Thomas shoved me onto the couch. They both stood over me, explaining that my blackmailing scheme had somehow reunited them. They were both so angry at me for taking their money that they were able to get over all the anger they had for each other. They'd called off the divorce and were now united under a new cause: to get revenge against me. I thought it was a joke until Martina pulled out zip ties and duct tape. I didn't know what revenge plan they had, but it didn't look good. While Thomas kept me pinned to the couch, Martina got the zip ties ready. Moving as fast as I could, I shoved Thomas to the side and jumped off the couch. Martina grabbed at me, but I pushed past her and ran outside. Thankfully, I had my car keys in my pocket. I drove straight to the police, which is what I should have done in the first place. I explained everything to the policeman, which meant that I confessed to my blackmail scheme. I knew I was admitting to a crime, but I had to tell them everything. The policeman kept me in a holding cell while other officers went to my house to find the couple. When they arrived, there was no evidence that Martina and Thomas were ever there. After that, the police sent me home. They told me that there was nothing else they could do. It's been a week since then, and I know that eventually they'll come back to exact their revenge. It's only a matter of time. I never should have blackmailed them. My name's Sam. I was an alcoholic for most of my 20s. Just after I turned 30, I hit rock bottom. I lost my house and had to move back in with my mom. She allowed me to stay with her rent-free as long as I joined AA and quit drinking. It was a really hard process, but I slowly got back on my feet. I got a part-time job and I started saving up again. I followed the AA program religiously. It's true what they say. Every day is hard, but it's not impossible. Mom was an amazing supporter. She got rid of all the alcohol in the house and always kept an eye on me. Dad died about 10 years ago, right before I started drinking, and Mom never remarried. Instead, she kind of turned into a player. While I lived with her, she had a constantly rotating line of much younger boyfriends. They rarely lasted more than a week. Honestly, I tried to ignore that part of her life. It creeped me out. No judgment, though. She seemed happy. Then, one night, about half a year after I moved back in, I found a hidden bottle of rum under the kitchen sink. I figured Mom had forgotten about it. I grabbed the bottle and got ready to pour it out, but I couldn't. It was the expensive stuff. I tried calling my sponsor, but she didn't answer. Then I called Mom, but she was off on a date. Without anyone to help me, I fell off the wagon. I don't remember anything after that first drink. When I woke up the next morning, I was lying on the kitchen floor. My head was throbbing, and I'd thrown up on the tile. I was still clutching the rum bottle, but now it was empty. I struggled to stand up. I drank a lot of water from the sink, and then I stumbled into the living room. Unlike the kitchen, which had looked totally normal, aside from the vomit stains, the living room was absolutely trashed. The couch was tipped on its side, and everything that should have been on the coffee table was lying on the floor. What had I done last night? It looked like a fight scene. I looked outside, and I saw that Mom's car was still gone. Whew, thankfully she hadn't returned from her date yet. That meant that I had time to clean everything up before she got back. To help me with my recovery, Mom set up some very strict rules, including a zero-tolerance policy toward drinking in her house. If she saw the living room, she'd kick me out. I couldn't let that happen. Very quickly, I scrubbed the kitchen floor. No problem there. Then I started cleaning up the living room, and I realized that I was completely screwed. Mom's antique lamp was broken on the floor, split into three pieces. Even if I cleaned up everything else, that lamp was irreplaceable. Starting to panic, I went online and did an image search of the lamp. That brought me to an exact replacement for sale on eBay. It cost me $300, which I didn't really have, but I bought it anyway. I even paid a little extra for next day delivery. My only hope was that I could clean everything else before Mom got back, and then pray that she wouldn't notice the lamp was missing. Then I could replace it and pretend that last night never even happened. I'd still confess at my AA meeting, but for now, I couldn't let Mom kick me out. After I finished the eBay purchase, I jumped in my car and drove to the hardware store to buy cleaning supplies for the couch. There were some dark stains on one of its cushions. It took me less than 40 minutes to buy everything and come back. But when I returned, I saw that the living room was completely back to normal. No stains on the couch, no upturned furniture. It looked exactly like it had yesterday, aside from the broken lamp. That was just gone. I had no idea what happened. Had I imagined everything? Just then, Mom walked into the room. She'd come back while I was at the store. Honey, what's wrong? I nervously asked her if she'd cleaned up the living room. She looked at me, but then she said, "Nope, looks exactly the same. Where'd you go this morning?" I could tell she was hiding something. She wore her hair in a ponytail, which she only did when she was cleaning. But why would she lie about cleaning the living room? Unless she knew what I'd done and she didn't want to acknowledge my relapse. I figured the best thing to do was follow her lead and pretend that nothing happened. I really wanted to apologize for the lamp, but I knew she didn't want me to mention it. Things went back to normal after that. We had breakfast together, and then I left for my AA meeting. I told them everything. The other guys in my group were really confused by my mother's actions. Honestly, I was too. With their help, I decided to just come clean to my mom and see how she reacts. I couldn't let this secret get in the way of my recovery. So, that evening, I went back home and I joined Mom on the sofa. She was watching some singing competition on TV. I didn't say anything at first. I was trying to figure out how to broach the subject. Eventually, I decided to start with the lamp. I asked her what happened to it. She laughed nervously. We didn't have a lamp on this table. She was lying again. I had to be more direct. Mom, I know I broke your lamp. I'm so sorry. She grabbed my hand and squeezed it tight. Please don't mention that. Ever again. We shared eye contact for a long moment. Her expression was basically saying, don't tell me about your relapse. So I didn't. We watched the rest of the show and then the local news started. The top story was about a local murder from the night before. The newscaster showed a photo of a young, blonde man. He looked familiar, but I couldn't figure out why. They said he was bludgeoned to death and then dumped in a landfill. Shards of the murder weapon were found in his skull, but the police didn't have any other leads. They showed photos of the shards, and I recognized them right away. They were pieces of the broken lamp. And the man was one of Mom's many boyfriends. I'd seen them together. I turned toward my mom.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
She had this devious grin, like she knew she'd been caught. Then she said, well, I guess you deserve an explanation. Slowly, she explained the events of the night before. She was dating the victim, but she found out that he was seeing other people. Rather than give him up, she killed him in the living room. He put up a struggle, but she eventually finished him off with the lamp. Then she told me the most disgusting part of her plan. She knew I was in the house, and she didn't want me to be a witness, so she planted the rum bottle where she knew I'd find it. She even added sleeping pills to the alcohol to ensure I'd be knocked out. Everything went according to her plan, except I woke up while she was off disposing the body. She thought I'd sleep in longer. She never expected me to see the trash living room, but I did. And now I knew that she was a murderer. Mom, you have to turn yourself in.
No, she answered, smiling. I'm never going to get caught. And even if you go to the police, you're an alcoholic. No one's going to believe you. I disposed of the lamp, so there's no other evidence. You've got nothing.
I wanted to throw up again. My mother was gloating. She was basically daring me to call the police. So I did. Mom sat across from me and let me do it. An officer arrived 15 minutes later, and I breathlessly explained what Mom had done. Mom stayed silent while the officer wrote everything down. Then he asked Mom for her statement, and she told him that I was an unstable alcoholic with a history of hallucinations. She picked apart my story, which did sound ridiculous, even though it was true. The officer believed her completely. He looked at me with annoyance and asked if I had any evidence to back up my story. I didn't. The officer apologized to my mother and started to leave. He warned me against lying to the police. And then he was gone. See, Mom said, I got away with it. Seeing that this was my last chance, I raced outside, shouting for the officer to stop. And that was when I noticed the eBay package on my porch. The replacement lamp had arrived. I had completely forgotten about it.
I grabbed the box and handed it to the officer. Mom disposed of the real murder weapon, but this should be an exact match. Mom's in jail now, awaiting trial. If it weren't for my eBay purchase, she'd still be walking free.
Life has been a taste of different things. I've had to live through phases quicker than I had imagined than it would have been for me a decade ago when I started on this path. With nothing more to my name than a varsity t-shirt around my neck, my computer, whatever food or drink I had in hand at the time. I had been in good times when I look back at it. Dimly lit rooms that were empty for the most part. Until I started to define what it was that I wanted to do with my life. And the enormous ambition that I had forced onto my own shoulders. Financial technology was something I had been passionate about all the time, and I had the skill to see a company come to life. It didn't take long for me to start a company with a few people like myself. I could have handled things better when I think about it, but how could I when I thought about the weight of my first failing business hanging on my shoulder? What I had in ethics, I admittedly lacked in personal management. I had one thought in my mind, and one thought only. The business had to work. My first team had Laura, for communications and public relations. Zach managed our finances, Justin worked with me on administration, and Mark, whose work I had stumbled upon by chance on an obscure social media platform, did great work modeling our first usable application. For many reasons, Mark was brilliant. He was the child of two professors, and he was elite with computing from a very tender age. His first app was built when he was 9, and he had been courted by big companies, but Mark turned them all down. Tall, slender, bespectacled Mark, with eyes sunken into his face from peering at a screen for too long. His slouch was visible, whether he was seated or standing, the bulk of his shoulders leaning forward. Mark hardly ever spoke to anyone else in the company but me. His ear-piercing screech when he activated something beyond my expectations with the application gave off a feeling of a happy dog who was only too pleased with getting pets from his human. Mark's quirks were not a problem for me at the beginning of our company, even when it was failing. We worked in the same space, and we always bounced ideas off of how well the algorithm should work. Where my skills in computing programming were limited, Mark was seemingly limitless. He used the computer like a master painter, within the cage of his own genius. It didn't faze me until we hit our first break during the pandemic as a company, after years of failing and struggling. It was clear we needed more programmers to handle the business. Mark did not think so. Mark called me lazy and uninventive. We would be just like every other payment platform out there if we cannot maintain a small company that can innovate through problems, Mark argued. I didn't think so. We were expanding regardless. He said it was a pandemic effect, and expanding would cost us too many processes and too little time for execution. And I told him I didn't want to argue with an employee as to how best I saw fit to run my company. He was visibly hurt, just was I. I'd never seen him as pale as much as he was, his eyes blank and his features emotionless. For a moment, I thought I noticed his lips quiver as he stood in front of my new office. Perhaps he perceived something in me that I didn't, but Mark said nothing and left my office. Mark did not turn up for work the day after that, and I never saw him despite all my best efforts to reach him. I wrote mails and sent text messages that never got replied to. The hassles of our newly found success as a company soon swayed my attention from Mark. It didn't help my relationship with him that soon we had to move to Iceland to set up servers in a remote data center. I lived in Iceland for many years until that night. It had been a very chilly night, just like any other night, but the only strange event being that the blizzard suddenly cut off the power. It was perplexing, as it was scarcely ever happening. So I thought to go check it out, holding nothing but a flashlight. I was not fully aware of the ominous silence until I was a few paces away from the door. The silence seemed to overwhelm me. I struggled to reconcile the strange feeling that came over me. It was not immediately obvious when I stretched my light out into the distance, this way and that way. It was then that I saw him. Tall as ever, slimmer with clothes clung to his body, making every motion sheer visible. I was struck in the moment by a rush of emotions that were difficult to interpret. "Who's there?" I called out, even though I could sense his presence. "An old friend, Larry. And I've come to collect," he answered. Confusion turned to dread as I was standing face to face with Mark with a menacing smirk on his face. My flashlight caught his full form and I saw a glimmer of a knife in his hand. "You took it all from me, Larry. You took my life from me and you got rich, didn't you? It was all about money, not about solving problems." He barked at me, marching towards me deliberately, delivering a chilling scene to my senses as he displayed the knife. I wanted to run for it, but I knew I couldn't possibly outrun such a desperate man. I tried common sense and started to speak to him. It wasn't about the money. Money was important too, but other people's ambitions relied on the fact that they were also doing something that they could aspire to. "Liar. Always. I'm gonna kill you." He screeched and latched onto me with the blade in his hand. He struck the first blow, and the blade thawed into my chest, just into the fleshier part of my shoulder joint. I let out a cry of agony and kicked out as he withdrew the blade. My feet hit him in the balls, and he tumbled forward, leaving room for me to escape. I took my chance, and this time I ran for it, shutting the glass door behind me. Mark chased after me, eyes driven mad to rage, slamming the knife into the door with some hope that he would break through. His purpose was obvious, but I had never been more terrified in my life as I stood there, calling the police on Mark. The bloodied knife in his hand stained the glass as he repeatedly struck until the cops arrived. I spent the day at the hospital with my stab wound, and I moved cities far apart from us. But it was the most horrifying night of my life.
My name is Tabitha, and I hate shopping. I'm a mother of three, so every week I have to go to Costco to buy whatever groceries and snacks that my family needs. I know it's not that big a deal, especially because my husband Tom works his butt off in the office to provide for us, but I genuinely hate shopping. One Saturday morning, I left our kids with the nanny and drove to Costco. I expected to be there for about an hour. As I crossed through the store, I saw my husband Tom up ahead. He was standing with a trashy blonde woman. I couldn't believe my eyes. Tom was supposed to be at work. What was he doing with this woman who looked like a And why was he dressed like that? I knew it was Tom, because I recognized my husband's face, but his clothes were all thuggish. He even had fake tattoos printed onto his neck and arm. He looked like some kind of gang member. He even had a bandana over his hair. Was this some sort of second life that he had? Was he only pretending to be a happily married man, but when I wasn't looking, did he put on this whole other persona? It made no sense. I had to talk to him and ask him what was going on. I walked straight up to him and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" He looked at me like I was insane, like he didn't recognize me at all. The woman he was with stepped between us. "Don't talk to my man like that," she said. "Your man? This is my husband." Tom's face dropped. "Oh," he said. Then he turned to the other woman. "Give us a second, okay?" And then he grabbed me by the shoulder and guided me towards the far corner of the Costco. We were alone now, surrounded by giant shelves filled with boxes of snack foods. No one around to hear us. "I'm sorry, baby," he said. "You're sorry?" I asked. "Who was that woman? Why are you dressed like that?" He thought for a long moment. "Okay," he said. "I'm going to tell you something, but you can't say anything. I'm undercover." "What?" I asked. "You're an accountant." He held me by both shoulders and looked me right in the eyes. "There's been some shady dealings with our company, and I have to find out what's going on. So I'm in costume right now. I was sworn to secrecy. I couldn't tell you. But now that you're here, I'm worried that you're going to ruin my cover." "Your cover?" I said. "What are you trying to do?" "Please, honey, just trust me. The less you know, the better. I have to recover some very important documents, and since you're mixed up in this now, I think you need to help me. Is that okay? I could tell from his expression that he was desperate, and I didn't want to say no to my husband in a time like this. Of course, I said. I love you, Tom. He smiled. Good. So my associate and I are going to sneak into the back and gather the documents. I need you to be out here as a distraction. Can you do that? Sure, I said. What do I need to do? He pointed around the corner. There's a security guard right there. I want you to talk with him and make sure he's looking right at you while I sneak past. Is that okay? Yeah, I said. But it sounds kind of illegal and dangerous. Trust me, he said. He guided me around the corner and showed me the security guard. I walked over to the man and started talking to him casually. I'm a pretty attractive woman, so it was easy for me to get all his attention. I asked him questions about his job and about how exciting it was. And while we talked, Tom and that other woman snuck behind him into the back warehouse area of the Costco. We talked for about 5 minutes when the security guard said he had to go check the back. I tried to stop him because Tom hadn't come out yet, but he just kept going. As soon as he was gone, I texted Tom, "Be careful, the security guard is coming your way." Tom texted back immediately, "What are you talking about? I'm at work." That's when I realized that the man I was talking to wasn't my husband at all. What was going on? The stranger who looked exactly like my husband was somehow doing something very illegal, and I had just helped him. Before I could do anything, I heard a loud gunshot noise coming from the back of the store. Then fake Tom and his trashy girlfriend ran right past me without even looking. They were carrying a large black bag, probably filled with money. In seconds, they were gone. I wandered into the back and saw the security guard lying on the ground. He'd been shot in the leg, but he looked like he was going to be okay. You helped him, he said. And then he passed out from the blood loss. I called 911, completely unsure of how I was going to explain this. The cops arrived within 5 minutes. They got my statement, but I think that only made things more confusing. They told me to go back home and they'd call me if they had any other questions. When I got home, Tom was waiting for me. "What the hell happened?" I asked him. Tom looked at me and said, "Honey, there's something I've been keeping from you all these years. I have a twin brother. He's been in jail for over a decade, so I figured that you'd never meet him. But I guess he was released, and he hasn't learned his lesson, apparently. It looks like he just robbed Costco, and you helped him commit the robbery." I was speechless. He wrapped me in a big hug and said, "It's okay. It's not your fault."
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All this happened 3 weeks ago. Tom's twin brother is still on the run, and the police have come over 3 more times to ask me more information. I told them the whole truth, and I don't think I'm in any real legal trouble. I think they just assumed that I was a total idiot. And maybe I was. I have no idea where Tom's brother is, but I hope that he doesn't try to come back into our lives again.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways, exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.